scouting in the area.
We'll go down and take a look by the mill. You got a good tracker in your party, Outlander?
Jack.
Come on, then.
You didn't need to be an expert in reading signs to see what had happened. Jack pointed to the clear hoof marks.
Two ponies, tethered around back. Dean and the other go in. Men waiting, watching them.
March or deeper. Not muties. Gotta be the brushwooders.
There's a struggle. Not much. Not long. Eight or so men against two children. Left to the west. Took the ponies.
Ryan knelt and looked at the trampled marks in the wet mud, seeing the way that water was still seeping into some of them.
Not all that long ago.
Within the hour. Could still be around.
He'd have hit us as we came down the trail, like blasting fish in a barrel. Nah, Jack. They've lifted the boys. Now they're taking them all the way back to their camp. Best we get after them right away.
Rainey was out of his depth. His eyes darted nervously from face to face, the narrow mouth betraying his confusion.
Maybe we ought to send for some reinforcements.
The longer we wait, the less chance of getting Dean and Jamie back alive and safe.
They could be anywhere. Brushwooders move their camp all the time.
Not if we follow the tracks. Look, I don't mind much what you decide to do, Rainey, but they've likely got my only child. All I aim to do is go get him back. The quicker, the better.
Dean was jolting along on the back of a horse, his wrists tied to his ankles, under the animal's belly. The sack over his head, stinking of fish meal, made it impossible to see where they were going. But he knew that they would be heading west, knew precisely who their captors were, knew that the dangerous man called Straub rode the horse that was carrying him away into imprisonment. Dean's head still rang from the heavy fist that had laid him low on the muddy floor of the old mill. He could taste dirt in his swollen mouth, along with a trickle of blood, and he knew that his face was masked in filth. There had been very little conversation between the men. All the boy could tell as he recovered his senses was that they were in a hurry. They suspected the lads hadn't been out unaccompanied that far from the vill. The other fact that Dean learned was that they knew that they'd captured the son of Baron Wayman.
Might help us to take the vill without risking our lives. Use the son as a hostage.
We could do a lot more than that. That bastard is weak.
Look, Ditchdown is our leader. For now, we'll have to discuss it with him. The important thing is to keep moving.
Yeah, guess you're right, Straub.
When am I ever wrong?
The riders picked their way westward at not much more than a brisk walking pace. Jack was in the lead, swinging low from the saddle to check on the tracks, making sure that the group they were following didn't take them by surprise.
Two horses riding double. Means both boys alive. Wouldn't carry corpses.
Ryan had a sinking feeling in his gut that the boys might not be alive for very long. There was no way that it could have been a planned ambush, since not even the lads themselves had known they were leaving the vill. So, it had been a lucky break for the brushwooders, one that he figured Straub would find a way of exploiting to his own advantage. The horses stopped. Dean had been counting as best he could through the discomfort of the jolting, with the saddle sticking painfully into his stomach. His best guess was 12 minutes, something between a fast walk and a trot. That meant the brushwooders' camp was around a mile and a half to 2 miles from the derelict mill, where he and Jamie had been taken prisoner. He felt Straub swing down, and then a sharp knife whispered through the ropes around his wrists and ankles, and he was dumped unceremoniously to the ground.
There you are, boy.
The tightness of the cords had affected the circulation in Dean's hands and feet, and he sat still, blinking in bright sunlight as the stinking sack was ripped off his head. It would have been easy to stand, but Dean stayed where he was, pretending to be dizzy and sick, keeping his eyes open for a chance to break and run. He was surrounded by the ragtag horde of backlane travelers. Children gathered around him, and one girl of 12 or 13 tried to poke him in the balls with a long, sharp stick.
Hey!
Dean kicked it away and was relieved to see an older woman approach the girl.
You little whore!
Straub had disappeared into the crowd.
These are what they call brushwooders, aren't they?
Dean spun, seeing Jamie Wayman sitting beside him. The boy had a black eye and a cut on the side of his face. Streaks in the dirt across his cheeks told a tale of weeping, but now he seemed to be hanging on to control.
Don't say a thing. Do you have a plan? A dangerous induction? Oh, do say you have.
Dean scowled fiercely at the boy.
This isn't some fucking game. Shut up and say nothing. And don't be surprised at anything I might say.
What?
Just don't argue whatever I say.
Oh, all right, Dean.
Smell smoke.
The odor of the sulfurous hot springs had been getting much stronger as they rode closer to the coast.
Then we're near enough. Stop here and we'll go ahead on foot. Leave the horses tethered.
Rainey stayed in the saddle, as did the three sec men, none of whom looked to be younger than 50 years old.
I believe the Baron placed me in command of this hunting party.
That was before. You want to follow another plan, then do what you like. But if it risks the life of my son, then you get a front seat on the last train west.
What do you figure? Remember, the son of my Baron's out there as well. It would chill Wayman if anything happened to the boy.
Something's already happened. It's a question of what else happens.
Button it, traitor. You're a poor judge of when to talk and when to shut up.
Fireblast, can't we just get something done for once without an argument? We go through the woods on foot and wreck the camp. No point in even thinking about trying to make a plan till we've done that.
Ditchdown was sitting in a padded chair beside the main campfire, which was always kept burning. The sunlight in the clearing accentuated the flash of white through his dark hair. Straub stood at his side as the two prisoners were hauled before him.
Filthy little bastards. Filthy.
Dean rubbed at his bruised and muddied face. Jamie stood at his side, silent, looking fixedly at the floor.
You got anything to say for yourselves?
Straub's dark, silver-flecked eyes burned at Dean, as though they were drilling into his soul, sucking out all of his secrets. The boy returned his gaze for a few seconds, when he felt a sickening void opening in his head, and he lowered his eyes.
We have here a young hawk and a common jaybird, Ditchdown. Yet both of these puny creatures can be of use to us.
Which is the hawk? Neither of them fit that description, do they, Straub?
One is the son of the Baron of this ville. His name is Jamie Wayman. The other is a common little lout. I believe he might be one of the butchering party that gave us such trouble and cost us in spilled blood.
Ditchdown stood and stared at the lads, his fists clenched in anger.
Can't say I'd recognize the spawn of that one-eyed bastard. Truth is, I can't even tell these two little rats apart.
There was a strong enough clue in what one of them carried. But ask them, Ditchdown.
Ask them what?
Straub toyed with the opal in his ear.
Yes. Ask them which is Wayman and which is Cawder, if it's not too difficult for you. One shall remain here, and the other shall carry the message of what ransom we require back to the Baron. Just ask them, Ditchdown.
I smell the smoke, and I can feel we're close. I feel the brushwaters. Sort of a dull, brutish shape in my mind.
How about the boys, babe?
No. Sorry, Ryan. Sorry, Bill. Nothing. But we reckon they were almost certainly alive when they were taken. I doubt they'll have had time to do much to them.
Traitor appeared to examine his ball of phlegm.
Huh. Thought it might have turned yellow with all the sulfur in the air.
The three elderly sec-men from the ville were huddled together, sharing a cigarette. None of them looked as if they were enjoying the expedition. Jack was looking at the trampled mud of the trail that led them between the trees toward the camp. He pointed with a long white finger at the unmistakable marks of sharp hooves.
Pigs. Not long ago.
Then let's move on. Faster.
Which one of you is the son of Baron Wayman? I give you my word that he won't be harmed. Just stay and be our guests a short while. Well?
I'm Jamie Wayman, and you're a piece of rotting shit. My father will come with all his sec men and ride you into the dirt.
Brave words, little bantam. Brave words. But hollow and empty, don't you think? Now your friend will run to the ville with a message.
The boy quickly became tired. He'd set off from the camp of the Brushwooders as though his feet had been set on fire.